Okay, good afternoon. Glad to have you here with us. You know, the process the last, how long has it been? A couple weeks almost, it seems like. But the process of hiring our staff is almost complete. We got one or two more spots to fill. But the first hires were, of course, the coordinators. Glad to have them with us. Most of you, I'm sure all of you know by now who they are. But Jason Michaels, our offensive coordinator, and Ray Horton is our defensive coordinator. Very glad to have both of these men here, and I think they'll be great additions to our team going forward. So with that being said, I'll open it up for questions.
Ken, I know this would be the third offensive coordinator in 4 years for a guy like Jake Locke. I wonder if you and then Jason can address that, kind of the challenge for a quarterback dealing with a number of coordinators like that.
It's never an easy process, but hopefully this will be pretty stable from this point going forward. I think Jake strikes me as the kind of player that'll really throw himself into it. And I think that our system is, I'm sure everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks their system is that way. It's fairly streamlined. But, you know, we've tried to, in the past, do things that's the least impactful on the players, about them trying to learn. But that'll be taken into consideration, I think, as we start to put the book in. But Jason can talk about that.
Yeah, I think you just echo the same things. It'll be a process of that, just like, you know, everything is here. You know, getting a chance to spend time with him, you know, getting familiar with him, he getting familiar with us. You know, all those things go into it. And, our role here is to just like Coach Wisenhunt said, you know, to make it as easy on him as it is with the transition. And, that's the process we'll go through over the next, weeks, months, coming forward.
Jason, when you look at coming in with the head coach who's going to call the plays, and I know not every situation is the same, but does the relationship that you guys have already established make that easier for you to step into this role?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's a different, unique situation in the sense of, how the last year has, come about, having a chance to stay in San Diego. Coach Wisenhunt comes in and just, going through that of sitting in the off season, putting the offensive system in, hopefully being a help to him of, having been there and helped him with some of the personnel that we had there in that transition from that. But there's no question the relationship with that of being able to help facilitate, the organization of what we're doing offensively. And I think that's my role in this, to where when he steps in or steps out of the office, he can step back in and it's a seamless communication, for him to go throughout the game week and, through this whole process.
There's been a lot of talk about a hybrid defense, and Ken's talked a lot about hybrid defense. Can you talk a little bit about what makes a hybrid different from kind of a traditional 3-4, and then also how it differs from a 4-3?
I think what Coach Wiz is saying is that a hybrid defense is probably something that changes depending on the team that you're playing offensively. And then with the role of everybody being in multiple wide receivers throughout the game, you're always in a different personnel package, whether it's 3-4, 4-3, sometimes we're in a 2-5. So I think what he's saying is you have to have good athletes that can play multiple positions. And I don't think anybody's pigeonholed into a type of defense anymore. I think it's less important the configuration, it's more important the personnel that you have on the field.
How much does personnel have to change from the Titans playing a 4-3 for a good bit? Does there have to be a decent amount of change in personnel?
I think every year there's change. I think it's good. We'll have a rookie class coming in. There'll be some probably free agents somewhere on the market somewhere. So I think change is good. It keeps guys fresh. I don't want guys to get comfortable in their role and their place. Change is good.
When you talk about it's important, the personnel that are on the field, do you have much of a sense yet of the personnel you're inheriting, and are there some parts that you see or some guys you see as unique maybe?
We're about halfway through the last year's season, and the thing that impresses me most is the speed on the field, and they run. They're athletic. And irregardless of the system, the scheme that they were playing, they run to the ball. The front seven, I didn't say 4-3 or 3-4, the front seven, they run to the ball. The back end, they tackle well. And that's an ingredient to a good defense.
Yeah, Bernard Pollard was part of that back end and arguably the best tackler on it. is he a consideration at this point to try and get him back in here? Is that a push you made?
Well, I think one of the best tacklers was Jason McCourty. And he tackled well, and he's a corner. And Bernard does tackle well, but I expect him to tackle well. But when your corners tackle, that's a sign of a good defense.
How much have you been able to watch them on film?
I've seen half the season so far, and probably finish up the second half later tonight or tomorrow. So by Friday, the season will be done.
What's a guy like maybe like a Derek Morgan? Is he a guy that could have a different role potentially in a hybrid style defense than kind of traditional four?
He is one of the players that impresses me because he runs very well. He runs down the field. He runs up the field. He's strong at the point of attack. And that's really when you're talking about a football team, a defensive football team, the mark of a good defensive team is guys, your big guys that run well. And he would be a player that would stand out in any team, any league, any time.
Ken, how much did your familiarity with Ray, working with him in Arizona, was it, when you had this choice, was it a slam dunk that it would be him? Or how did you go through the process? And I guess kind of a reverse question to you two, Ray.
Well, I called him and asked him if he was interested, and he said yes, so that was about all I needed. I mean, Ray did a great job for us in Arizona, for me, for our team, and Ray and I have been together for a number of years, so I have great respect for what he's done as a position coach as well as a coordinator, and I think his communication with the team, the way he gets those guys to play is an important piece of it, so I feel very lucky that that we were able to get Ray here.
For me, it's easy. Great head coach for the players and for his staff and really for the city. I think the city will appreciate him, and his wife, Alice, will do a heck of a job in the community. And for me, Coach Wisenhunt's been a winner everywhere he's been. In Pittsburgh, as a great play caller. In Arizona, taking them to their only Super Bowl. In San Diego, getting them right back in the playoffs. So Coach Wisenhunt is... For me, an easy choice to ride with Coach Wisenhunt.
Jason, when you were just up the road beating Western Kentucky to the national championship, did you ever imagine that you'd be just down the road as the Titans offensive coordinator one day?
Yes and no. I mean, you look at this, you know, in this, you know, game, this profession, this business, you know, you have goals and aspirations of being, you know, different places, you know. Do you ever get to choose or have a chance? You know, very few times in this business do you get a chance to come back home. And, you know, if you would have asked me, I think I said this before, but if you would have asked me 10 years ago, you know, where would you like to be in 10 years? You know, I think this would have been the dream job, having a chance to come back home, you know, be in the state of Tennessee and be the offensive coordinator here. You know, I'm very fortunate, you know, for having that opportunity and, you know, look forward to moving forward with that.
When you were there and you played under Jack, I know Jim was involved from time to time. Did you have the interaction with Jim while you're the quarterback and just playing for Jack there?
Yeah, you know, Coach Harbaugh, at the time, Jim was still playing. And, you know, in the summers, Jim would come back and work out. And he was actually on the staff. You know, even when he was playing, he was considered an assistant there and was able to recruit a little bit for Jack. But he was around in the summers. And, you know, just the relationship from Coach Harbaugh and he being around, you know, got to know him a little bit, and then, you know, obviously in this, you know, being around and crossing paths along the way, you know, I've seen him and with John as well.
Jason, it seemed like last year with this team, there were times it was kind of run heavy, sometimes it was more pass heavy. Just wondering your thoughts as you look at the personnel and what happened last year. What's kind of the identity of this team's offense, or what do you hope the identity will be?
You know, I think the same thing. We're in an evaluation process right now. You know, the offensive staff, you know, same way as Ray said, you know, we're working through the season right now to look at, you know, to get familiar and look at what is here. You know, in terms of run pass, you know, those things as you go, you know, we're going to do what gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, whether it's run the football 40 times a game or whether it's throw it 40 times a game, you know, and that's going to change from week to week. You know, I think if you go back, you know, just last year and look at in San Diego, you know, we did what gave us the best opportunity, and that's not going to change, you know, and like I said, that'll change from week to week and whatever we need to do to win a football game.
This team has invested a lot on the offensive side of the ball in the last few years. When you watch
the situation from the half season that you've seen? Is, I guess, the same quarterback, a healthy quarterback, kind of the difference in facilitating bigger numbers with this group? Because you got first round picks kind of all over the board.
I mean, a broad question to watch in five games. You know, looking at it from that standpoint, you know, ask me again once we get a chance to get through the season, you know, in terms of those things. But, I think it's what we're trying to do of bring the system and implement the system here to give us a chance to be consistent, to win football games, and, you know, to create competition and do whatever we have to do to improve going forward.
You talk about your relationship with Coach Fulmer. He had some glowing things to say about you the other day.
When I came out of Western, when I left Western, had a chance to meet Coach Fulmer the summer before my senior year, and it was always one of those deals to get into coaching. Always wanted to do that, and he afforded me that opportunity. You know, right when I got finished playing, and since then was there a couple years as a graduate assistant, left, and then came back in 2008, and professionally a great man, a genuine guy. But truly a friend of mine that we've become close since then, and I'll enjoy a chance, to get to see him in the summers. And we've stayed in touch, and he's been a big asset to my career in terms of helping me along the way.
Ken, you fired a number of guys like Ray to roles that you've worked with them in the past. Is there almost a sense in your process that this is sort of a continuation of what you were doing in Arizona, and how much easier does that make the process?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think that you make relationships with coaches, with men, as you go through this business. And I think part of my job is my assessment of good coaches. And when you have an opportunity to get those coaches with you, that's what you work to do. When you're trying to put together a staff, you just never know. You never know of availability of coaches, if you can get them out of their contracts, what their status is. So, the coaches that we've hired here, I feel like all of them, good teachers, good coaches, good leaders, and some of them have been with me before, yes. I mean, is there a comfort factor with that? Yeah, of course there is, but I think also they're good coaches, my assessment. I think, you can look at Ray and what he did in Cleveland with that group last year, and they were a very good defense. He did a heck of a job with those guys. So independent of my friendship or my respect with Ray, is the fact that he's a darn good football coach. I sat in a room with Jason for almost a year now, almost a year to the day, and we grinded through a lot of different things, and you garner so much respect for the job that they do, and you see how they coach the players. You see what he did with Antonio Gates. You see his contribution in all aspects of what we were trying to get done. You want those guys with you because you know what you're going to get out of them. And more importantly, the communication between them and the players is what is an important piece of this puzzle. How Ray stands in front of the defense and gets those guys to play is a big deal. What Jason did last year, because Jason put in the short yardage and goal line for us and stood up in front of the offense and did that. And you have so much respect for how they handle themselves and how the players respond to them. Because I said this the first day, chemistry is such an important part of this. It's easy to say that term, but really if guys believe in each other, it's going to give us a better chance to win, and that's really what this is all about.
What do you need if you're calling the plays on Sunday? Then what do you need from Jason during a game? As you've got other things going on, I'm sure too.
The plays that work. Really, that helps a lot. But I think one of the things that I valued so much in my time as calling plays is communication during the course of the game. The factor that I have here is I know what that is. I know what it is with a lot of the coaches on the staff because I've done that before. So, to me, calling plays is a little bit of a team effort because you're getting information from what they see, what they anticipate, plays that you say, hey, Jason, remind me about this play or remind me about this situation. And, the communication of that part is so critical because it's not so much what, a lot of times it's how, and when you have a feel for that. So, I'm very comfortable with that, and I know it's a tremendous asset to what we're going to do going forward.
Can you see on the field or upstairs?
Jason? Mm-hmm. I haven't worked that out yet, George. I mean, that's something that we'll process through. I think it's important that you have somebody up top that you trust and communicate with, as well as somebody on the field. And, that's something that we'll work through.
Ken,
Don't pin me down right now.
Ray, you talked about Derek Morgan and how he stuck out to you. He's a guy who's been close for years here with sacks. What do you need to do to get him over that hump and go from 6 to 10 or 12? Or do you not need that?
I'd love that. I think sacks are a team proposition. The way the quarterbacks throw the ball now, you know, I heard on TV from the experts how fast some of the quarterbacks get the ball out, you know, 2.1, 1.9. Nobody's going to get the sack if you do that. And it's all predicated on, you know, game situation, how much you blitz, how much you cover, timing, making the quarterback go off his first read, how much you call pressure. Derek will get his sacks because his effort, and we also have to be smart in how much we rest him. He can't play 60 plays a game. So some of that is just timing, pressure, coverage. He'll definitely get opportunities, let's put it that way.
What have some of your impressions been on the linebackers? It seemed to a lot of people that maybe they took a little bit of a step back last year despite the fact these guys are high draft picks. Wondering just your early evaluation on them. What's your thoughts on the linebackers?
Halfway through, I would say we played a lot of cover two last year here in Tennessee. And it's a defense that affords you to make tackles and probably not get a lot of production in the sack game. We probably will not play as much cover two as we did last year. But I think our linebackers are guys that should be able to flow fast through the ball. I think our front will be very strong and allow our backers to cover more ground. And it'll just be a little different type of defense than it was last year. So hopefully the production and the numbers will be up. I'm pretty sure they will be.
Ray, to elaborate on that, you're known as an attacking defensive coordinator. Does the speed that you've seen really play into that, and how much more attacking do you expect to do than what you've seen halfway through last year?
Not having scouted our upcoming opponents and what they do, if they'll allow us to pressure, which I don't think most of the coordinators do on offense. But if you would allow me to, I'd love to pressure quite a bit. But then again, it's game situation. It's where you're at in the field and what you do. I think, I don't want to be Nostradamus here, but I think as you go through the season, just as Jason said, what you're looking for is what gives your team, what gives Tennessee the best chance to win, and you'll do it, whether it's pressuring a lot or whether it's playing a lot of, you know, Tampa too.
This will be your third defense in as many years. I mean, is there a lot of teaching in the first year that if you get to a second year, things continue to evolve? Or, you know, how much can you get in terms of what you want in this year?
We'll put everything in. We'll put everything in the mini camps, the OTAs. We'll polish it up in training camp, and we'll hit the ground running.
Wonder if Ken and Jason can both address this. Can you talk about the different varieties of influence you guys had in your offense last year in San Diego?
What do you mean, variety of
influences, different systems, maybe?
Yeah, Jason, you can start with that.
Yeah, you know, when we came in last year, it was, you know, it was as fun time as I had coaching. You know, it really was, because it was an opportunity, you know, to sit and take what Coach Wisenhunt brought in from Arizona. You know, there's no doubt that was the starting point of what we did. And then, as he's mentioned, the communication and all those things that are so important to a staff. You know, we sat down as a group and you know, took what we did well in San Diego. You know, for example, you know, what Philip was comfortable with, what Antonio Gates, you know, had a comfort level in, and we kept those things and we worked with those things and worked those into his system, and that went around the table in terms of Coach McCoy coming in with some ideas that he had brought from Denver. Coach D'Alessandris, you know, the offensive line coach, you know, the run game, some ideas that he brought from Buffalo, and I think when we got finished with it, you know, it was a prideful thing of being able to sit there and say, hey, this is not just a system, this is our system. This, you know, at the time, this was the San Diego Chargers system, and was it the best system? It was the best system we felt for the personnel that we had, and you know, I think that approach and what we did there, you know, the comfort level that we have, myself, Coach Wisenhunt, of now bringing that into here, you know, and moving forward with that system.
You mentioned Gates obviously had a lot of catches, but Green did as well. Delaney kind of dominated the passing for the tight ends here last year. Do you envision spread that out a little bit more through the tight ends? Do you see Craig Stevens and Taylor Thompson maybe getting some more catches, or do you kind of like the way it was last year?
Well, again, you know, through four or five games looking at it, you know Delaney is a good player. You know, I have had an opportunity in San Francisco when I was there. Delaney was there. But, again, just going towards, you know, what we've been able to do, you know, and what defenses allow you to do, you know, by game plan is going to dictate a lot of how we plan that, how we go into a game plan, and what our thoughts are, who we can get the football to.
You know, some of it, in answer to that question, which is a good question, is Ladarius actually earned the opportunities. And I think that's an important piece for our football team, not just at the tight end position, but offensively and defensively. You know, I think that's an important piece of a competition. And Ray touched on that a little bit earlier. Competition is something that's critical to the makeup of your team, and it makes everybody better. And in a direct response to your question about the tight ends, I hope so. I hope those guys earn those opportunities, and they give us multiple sets that we can use with them, and we can be successful with it. I mean, we've got... It looks like a little bit of tape that we've seen. We got some pretty good receivers. And, you know, if you can get a good mixture of those guys, then you have a chance to be successful. But I think the best way to say it is it's up to them. We're going to give them the opportunities. And, you know, Ladarius took that and ran with it. Have a lot of respect for that. He had a good mentor in Antonio, and Jason did a good job with him. And to me, it wasn't just one guy. It was a bunch of guys, and Ladarius took advantage of his opportunity. So... hopefully we'll have a bunch of guys do that here.
Jason, have you spent much time talking to Jake Locker then about what he likes and what he feels comfortable with? And at what point do you start really thinking about him specifically and his strengths?
You start thinking about him and those situations as soon as you get here. I had a chance to speak with Jake this morning. Brief conversation, more so of, you know, how are you doing? How's the family? You know, how's rehab going? All those. In terms of getting into those specifics, you know, as we get through this process of going through, first of all, evaluating our roster and then getting into the playbook with the staff, as those things move forward, then we'll get into those conversations with Jake at that point.
Can you talk about where Jake is exactly in terms of rehab after the surgery?
You know what, I don't know that. I haven't talked with the doctors about it. I know he feels very positive about it. You know, I think we're going to have to rein him in a little bit, not from a standpoint of trying to get better, but he's going to want to go. He probably wants to go right now, just in my sense of talking with him. So I'll say this, though, in answer to your question about Jake and where he is. You know, one of the values in keeping a Sylvester Croom on your staff, some of the coaches that have been here, is that you can get a good sense of where these players are and how they operate. And that's one of the things that I learned last year in San Diego. Not that you didn't already know it, but I think maybe it was emphasized last year from the standpoint of Jason Michael and Ollie Wilson, who were there, who stayed with us. You know, you can get a good sense of what they can handle, what they like, what their strengths are. So, you know, we'll get a feel for Jake, but we already have a little bit of an idea, even in talking to Fitz, you know, just about some of the things. And he's a veteran quarterback that's played a lot, and he has a good assessment of where guys are. So I think that's all part of figuring out the puzzle. You know, we're going to push him. That position is a difficult position to play mentally as well as physically, and you have to be pushed. But Jake's got to be healthy, and we want him to be 100%. We don't want him to try to come back too soon, because we don't want something from that to linger. There'll be plenty of time to get him on the field and get reps.
I guess the thought had been that he'd probably be back for OTAs. Is that still kind of the assumption at this point?
I hope so. I mean, I think that's you never know. We still have a little bit of time between now and then, but you know, the first assessment that I, just like you said, that I had from that was that he would be.
When you guys talk about you're going through film, I mean, are you sitting in your office by yourself and Jason, and then you compare notes? Do you sit down together and watch and go through it? How's that process work?
It's a little bit of both. Some of it is together, some of it is independent. You know, position coaches, sometimes individual position coaches get more out of watching their tape because they can go through faster. And let's say you're a receiver coach, you got to watch three positions, two positions, sometimes four positions at once. You know, and if you're in a group together and you're rewinding it, you may not get the look of all your guys at once. So some of it is together, some of it's apart. But in the end, we all get together and talk about the personnel. I mean, Jason will have opinions of all the positions, you know, and you'll have other coaches that have been around these players that can tell you a little bit. You'll have a question, why does he do this? Why does he struggle on this route? You know, that's all a part of the overall assessment. You know, I know Ray. Ray will watch tape until we make him shut it off. So, you know, he'll watch it with the guys, and then he'll turn back and go watch it through again. And that's what a lot of us do. So it's really a combination of both.
Ken, does a quarterback earn the right to input, or has it gotten to a point where you have to give them input because otherwise it just doesn't work?
You know, George, it's a good question from the standpoint of a lot of times it depends on who the quarterback is and what he's done. But ultimately, I believe that if the player likes the play, you got a better chance of it being successful. Sometimes you have to force them to run something that you know is going to work, and they have to get over the hump of running that. So it's a delicate balance. I don't think there's an exact formula for that. But, you know, I think that you do value their feelings on plays, and you have to walk that line between making them run some plays and also trying to do the ones that they're comfortable with.
As you've looked at the team, got your first good chance to diagnose what you've got, has anything surprised you, good or bad, with what you're working with?
You know, I don't think we're at the point to really make that kind of declaration or summation right now. I've seen a lot of good things on the tape. I've seen a lot of different guys making plays and doing some good things. I've seen a lot of mistakes that you'd like to think that you can correct, you can clean up. But I think in speaking to what Ray said, I've been pleased with the effort. They've done a good job here of preparing this team from an effort standpoint. And, you know, that if you had to start somewhere, that's a good place to start.
Ken, it's been a few weeks since your Friday night dinner in San Diego with Rustin. The Senior Bowl, and now through the process, you get a feel of how much input or where your input will be on roster, free agents, draft, all of that? Or is that sort of something that was settled before you came in?
Well, Rust and I have been speaking lately, so I don't know. No, you know, I'm kidding on that. You know what? I think it's the same thing that I felt when I came here, that I felt on that Friday night in San Diego, is that it's going to be a collaborative effort. I have a lot of respect for Rustin and how he does his job, and that's only been strengthened in the last 2 weeks. I'm excited about working with him and with everybody else in this organization. And, you know, I don't believe my ego is such that I have to have the say. I just assume it be a collaborative operation, because I think that's ultimately the best way to come to the right decision.
You guys had a few players undergo surgery here in the offseason. I think in addition to Jake, I think Akeem, Chris Johnson, Schwenke, Levitre, and I don't know if that's all or not, but any of these, expected to impact long-term in terms of, you know, maybe being ready for OTAs or you get any sense of that at this point?
Well, let me say this, because when you name a lot of names like that, you know, the immediate shock factor is, oh, my gosh, there everybody's banged up. You know, this is the normal procedure for every team I've been with. It's not certainly not above the norm at the number of guys. But the answer to your question is I don't anticipate that there's any issues from any of these guys. I think we'll if they can go in OTAs, they're going to want to go. That's for sure. So, but if they're not ready to go medically, you know, we're not going to let them go, because it's important that we have them healthy.
I saw Michael Griffin yesterday, and he said that he made a point to come in early and talk to you, get to meet you, and he's excited and moving on. Has there been a steady stream of guys doing that, and how much interaction have you had with players to this point?
Yeah, it has been. It's been good. I mean, we've had a few players that have come in, but this is a great city. This is an easy place to live. The people here have been fantastic, so I don't know why you wouldn't live in this city. You know, it's not hard to drive to the complex and come in. So that's been great. We've had a few players coming by here.
Ken, as you've been breaking down some of the film and, you know, talking with Sylvester, any thoughts yet on Chris Johnson and what you've seen in your little bit of time looking at him right now?
We just really haven't watched enough specifically individual positions. We've been watching more as a group. He's been a good player in this league. I have a lot of respect for that. But as far as those questions or those things, that's what this process is. It's not going to be solved in 2 weeks. It's going to take a little bit more time than that.
You like that the draft is pushed back a week this year? Does that help you in a transition time like this?
It's good. I don't know. It's different. It's different where the draft. I think you get ingrained from doing it so many years of it being at the end of April that you're prepared for that. So I don't think it's really a factor as far as making a difference. We'll be if they told us the draft's moved up 2 weeks, we'd be ready for it then.
Ray, do you want to set the tone for this defense, or is that on the players?
I think it starts with Coach Wisenhunt down. You know, I really do. And I'll just be hopefully a reflection of his style, his demeanor, and his wants. And ultimately, it's a players' league. You know, somebody asked a question about letting the quarterback call plays and this and that. You know, I believe players make plays out there. It's easy to call cover two or cover zero, but they're the ones that will make the plays. But ultimately, I'm just a reflection of Coach Wisenhunt.
More injury questions for you, Ken. I know David Stewart was pretty banged up towards the end of last year, missing games. He needs surgery, or does he require surgery during the offseason?
You know, that would be a question that would be better served for the medical part of it. We have not sat down and talked specifically about individual players. That's a meeting that is still coming. So I couldn't give you accurate information on that.
Hey, Ken, with this being Super Bowl week, is it hard not to flash back in your mind a little bit? I know you have your own team now to worry about here, but is it hard not to think back to some of those moments that you had?
Sure. I've been very fortunate to have been there a couple of times. And, you know, when you see clips from Super Bowl week, it makes you think back to when you were there. I mean, you should ask Ray. He's been there more than I have.
What kind of memories are, or what's your favorite memory? Do you have one?
Well, other than us walking off the field in Detroit as a winner, you know, that was pretty special. That's a pretty strong memory from when we were in Pittsburgh. But, I don't think it's about one thing. I think the families coming to the walkthrough on Saturday down in Tampa when we played in that Super Bowl with Arizona was a pretty special memory, because, you know, that week is really about everybody's sacrifice to get to that point. So, you know, that's a pretty good one.
Really, this team has kind of struggled against the run for a few years. What, in your opinion, some keys in general for your defenses and being able to stop running?
The simplest answer is want to. In our scheme, the way we'll do it here, there'll be nobody will be responsible for more than one gap. Nobody will be responsible for doing more than their job. So if 11 guys can do their job and want to do their job, those things will take care of themselves. Now, do plays happen in this league? The other team gets paid. They have players too. Yeah, they do. But if we have guys that exemplify what I've seen so far on film, the effort, the desire, the speed, we'll be okay.
This is for both of you guys. You guys both seem very calm and cerebral. Would you describe your coaching style as sort of that way too, or are you guys?
You must be talking to these two here. I'm talking this way.
Is that accurate, or are you sort of more a rah-rah in your getting guys' face, or how would you sort of describe this for both of you, your coaching styles?
Go ahead, Ray. I've been fortunate. I've played in the league. I've sat in the chairs. I've been on the field, and it comes down to execution. And Coach Wisenhunt talked about that. It's executing the plays that are called. And been to Super Bowls. Been on 15-1 team. Been on a 1-15 team. You know, you think you've seen a lot, but you've never seen it all. And the biggest thing I am is I'm a teacher. I'm trying to get the players to understand what we want them to do and how to do it. And that's my style, of trying to get the players to do the best they can.
Yeah, I think that's what this profession is about. You know, you're a teacher. And it's I think it's probably about consistency. You know, I try to be as consistent as I can every single day, no matter what that is. Now, there's times whenever you're, you know, you are, you know, you do have to do certain things or act a certain way. But I think being a teacher, one, and the consistency at which you do that for the players in terms of describing, you know, if there's a characteristic, that's what I try to do each and every day. And the work ethic of working hard to do those things.
Hey, Ray, just to follow up on what Ken was saying, you obviously have Super Bowl experience too. Do you have a favorite memory from any moment?
Well, when you asked Coach Wisenhunt the question, the one that flashed to me was Miami, Super Bowl 23, we lost the game. And that feeling, I never want to forget that feeling of losing. When you win, you forget the plays. Nothing matters. You wear a ring and you go on. But when you lose, you analyze every – I don't want to forget that feeling of how hard it is to get there and how much you sacrifice and then lose the game. So for me, I always go to the loss. The wins, you expect to win.
And is there any way to put a realistic timetable on when the Titans could possibly make the Super Bowl?
You know, you guys always want to have a timetable. You want to have something to pin us down. I think the better way to say that is you don't ever rule it out. You know, if this, you never know. If you look at our team in San Diego last year that was 5-7 with four games left, you know, it's, and all of a sudden we were playing in the divisional round. You know, you get hot at the right time. The guys come together and believe in what you're doing. You can do it. Ray and I were on a team that was, we had to win our last four, and we did, and we won the next four and won the Super Bowl. So, you know, we did it in Arizona. We were 9-7, and as I remember Chris Collinsworth saying, we were the worst playoff team in the history of the NFL, and we still made it to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm glad Ray didn't say that his favorite moment was in Super Bowl 43, that catch there at the end, but because he was on the other side. But, you know, it's I'm not going to say when. I'm just going to say we expect it to happen.
You took over a team that had a lot of success in Arizona. Now you can go to a team that's had a down few years. What's the key in getting those guys to believe in that mission and believe that they're capable of fulfilling that mission?
Well, a lot of it starts with the guys that we've hired on the staff and these two guys that are sitting here beside me. I think it's belief in what we're trying to get done. It's putting the players in the best position for them to be successful. But you got to go through it. You know, you got to go through the practices. You got to go through the training camp. You got to go through the pain of losing some games and the joy of winning some games. And then it becomes about believing in each other and knowing that you have the plan that can get you to ultimately to the championship. I know that we've got the coaches. I believe that we've got the players. And I'm excited about this team. I know we got the fans. I've seen that. So, you know, we're excited about this upcoming season.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Do people recognize you out in public now? When you walk around, maybe there's new Titans coach?
I haven't been out in public. I've been in here grinding every day.
Right.
yeah. Yes, they do. They say, hey, I remember you when you were at Vanderbilt. I say, yeah, right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.